My name is Michelle. I'm a compulsive overeater.
Hi,
everybody. I've done this work as it's laid out in the big book with the help of God and my big book step study sponsor. Made all the amends I can make to this point, with the exception of two people that I couldn't find. And of course, I make daily amends. And with God's help, I live pretty much in 10, 11, and 12 every day. Thanks, Deb, for chairing today. And this is such a surprise. I thought like five people might be here on Super Bowl Sunday. So I never know, obviously, what God's got in mind. But the interesting thing about reading this during the week, the way that I prepare for the most part is just to read whatever my assignment is several times during the week and spend some quiet time thinking about it. And this is actually one of the books that I did a lot of my work in, and so I have a lot of the definitions from my original work in it. And that's always very helpful to reread those definitions again. I guess the exciting part about doing step three is that the first two steps are primarily us kind of getting our mind right and identifying ourselves through the first and second step that we are in some way qualified to work these steps, that we belong in these rooms and that our life is unmanageable and that up to a certain point we are what this work describes in chapter five. And so as we were reading it just now, I was thinking, you know, this, you know, why does my heart pound a little bit when it's my turn to share? It's because, you know, this book is so much about me, it's a little embarrassing. You know, every time it says self-seeking and self-centered and, you know, all that kind of stuff, I could just put my name right in there. Because that certainly was my story. I love that it starts out with this kind of a almost promise. It doesn't say absolutely we've never seen a person fail, but it says rarely have we seen a person fail. So that's pretty hopeful that if you're thoroughly doing this work, that you're going to get the effect that we have spoken of as the spiritual experience. And then in red in my book, these are the kind of the warnings of what might possibly be the problem if you don't get the effect. And it talks about being constitutionally incapable of being honest. And there isn't probably an addict in the whole world that hasn't thought, that's me. That's me. Constitutionally incapable of being honest. I mean, how big a liar can you be? And then, but even that, following that, there's some kindness there. There are such unfortunates, you know, they are not at fault. They may have been born that way. So even that to me is a little bit kind. But it is certainly a warning because this is a life that demands rigorous honesty. You know, the changes that have happened to me in the time that I have been seeking a relationship with God and a way to live like a sane person in recovery, I do think about all the different changes that have happened to me, and primarily because it's just my husband and myself in our home now. The children escaped long ago, and thank God they've chosen to live close to us because they do return to us, and we'll be at one of their homes tonight watching the football game. But it's just the two of us, and so pretty much he doesn't work anymore, I don't work anymore, and we're the only two people that can blame each other for everything that goes wrong in the house. The dog is as innocent as Coco. She never does anything wrong, and so she gets no blame. But it's just me and Larry. So we're caring for a friend of my husband's who had quadruple bypass surgery, and he's single, and there's nobody to care for him. He lives in a great big RV, actually. That's 6 months out of the year he's in Florida and 6 months in North Carolina. And so he had this surgery, and we talked it over, and he's been at our house for other minor, like eye surgeries, but this is a big one. So he's been with us for exactly a week today. So between Friday and Saturday morning at 3 o'clock, he fell. He didn't fall, like seriously fall, but he ended up on his butt, and he weighs over 200 pounds, and he's had this, I mean, his chest is wide open, stitches everywhere, he looks like Frankenstein, and how are you going to pull him up? How are you going to, you know, whatever. So we tried this, and we tried that, and we talked, and whatever. Well, we ended up calling rescue, and rescue came, and so rescue's coming, and I'm out in the driveway, going to flag him down, and whatever. So when I go in there, now suddenly, Larry's concerned that they're going to hurt him. And so the guys are, I mean, it's a tiny little bathroom that their four great big men are stuck in. And Larry wants to be right in there telling him not to hurt him. And so it was kind of, I kept saying, honey, they know what they're doing. They're trained people. They know what they're doing. And he was like, no, they're going to, you know. So finally I grabbed for his hand to just hold his hand. And he went just like this, like a two-year-old. He would not even hold his hand. And so, you know, there's a time when rescue may have had to haul us off. I'm not sure. You know what I'm saying? But it didn't happen the other night because of this work. You know, it's because I understand I am limited in my ability to manage anybody but myself. And so I had complete trust in those gentlemen, and they had him up in no time at all. And the other key for this in my life is that no matter what happens between Larry and I, the best thing for me to do is to let it end right there. Right there. No fuel to that, whatever happened. We didn't talk about it. I didn't bring it up. I didn't criticize him. It's just over. Because what's the point anyway for me to correct him and tell him, I wish you hadn't said this and blah, 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 you know. So those are the things that I'm learning how to live with. And it's because of this work. It's because this idea that when we read these steps and it tells us that that we had to admit that we were powerless pretty much over our lives. It just happens to say alcohol in this book, but you could put just about anything in there, and that our lives had become unmanageable. And that we had, we came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. So now we're at this decision point. We have to make a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And so it's an important step. And in Big Book Step Study, it's usually a step that is quite formal, that you're somewhere alone with your sponsor that's going to help you through this work, that this person may ask you some questions about your willingness to share this. Should you finish your work, would you be willing to help another addict go through the steps? And a lot of times we, at least my sponsor and I, got on our knees, and then we said the third step prayer together. And that formalization of that step helped me a lot, because reading the steps all the time or going to meetings, you know, half of my life, that didn't really solidify for me that that I was signing on to do something in a particular way with the outcome of sharing whatever God might give me with somebody else. And that's how I understand AA to work. That initially, when the first 100 of them wrote this book and got together, they figured out that they didn't know very much, but if they relied upon God, then they had this dream that AA would spread all over the world. And it has. But that wouldn't happen unless somebody got the spiritual experience and then was willing to share it with another person. So for me, it's a memory of when I did that prayer with my Big Book Step Study sponsor, and her willingness to continue to meet with me. We did the reading before this, but then she was willing to meet with me, check my work periodically, straighten me out if I kind of got off track or whatever. So I do know for me too that at the top of page 59 it says, without help it is too much for us. And see, that's the important part. If you're self-sponsoring or if you're sponsoring by committee, there, that's a little something that happens in Big Book Step Study. People sponsor by committee. They get instructions from their sponsor, but then they want to talk to three other people and make sure that you know what you're talking about. And then they come back and say, well, I heard from so-and-so. And, you know, here's the answer. There's there's any number of ways that the directions have been given, and we hear all the time about the different directions when we listen to enough speakers in different parts of the country, whatever. But the deal is, what are you going to do about that? You know, either you trust that person that you asked to sponsor you and that they're going to help you get through this, because you know what? They're only this much of the equation. This much of it is God, and you can trust him. Let me just tell you that. You can trust him, and he does know the directions. He probably wrote them. So that's important for me to remember. You know, one of the words that I looked at back here on when we started reading, balked. Here's the definition. To stop and obstinately refuse to move or act, and or to stop short of completion. So, you know, that is a very physical description of somebody who's decided that they don't want to continue on with whatever it is. You know, in Spanish, there's a word for mule, which is mula, and that used to be a word that my mother frequently used in reference to me. I have no idea why. But anyway, could have been because I thought I knew what I was doing at age 3 or whatever. Who knows? But anyway, so, you know, now you get over here to page 60. And, you know, after you read the 12 steps, who wouldn't be overwhelmed? And when you know, it sounds so funny to us because we've heard it a million times. What an order. I can't go through with it. Well, you know, when you think about that, that is a complete reworking of your life. And then what's going to happen after you do all this work? What are you going to have? And who are you going to be? That's kind of scary for some people. They're not sure that they want that many changes, or that they want that big of a change, or that they want to buy into the whole thing. Can't they just buy into 50% of it? But no, the next part that we're going to read together is that our description of the alcoholic. And my sponsor stopped right here, and this is kind of where she started asking me questions. That if I believed that I was, in fact, a compulsive overeater and I could not manage my own life. And I said, yes, that is true. That probably no human power could have relieved my compulsive overeating. That is also true. And that God could and would if he were sought. And I believe that as well. And so that is the convincers, if you will. That if you can answer A, B, and C, that you're convinced that this is who you are and this is what you want to do, and that you've done enough experimentation and crazy stuff that didn't work, that now you're willing to try this. I've even heard in Big Step Study there was a group of people who were actually signing some sort of a formal agreement to do this work and to sponsor somebody. And the way that in the context that I heard it was that this person was speaking like at a convention, and so she said when somebody said that they didn't want to do the work anymore, she would whip out that that document and say, well, now I remember on such and such a day when you told me that, you know, whatever. And I don't think that's necessary at all. In my experience, mm-hmm. hundreds of people have said third step prayers with me. Okay, that's an exaggeration. Maybe 50. People have said the third step prayer with me as if they were going to do Big Step Study, and they didn't do it. I don't care. You know, it's just like it was said in this book when Lois said to her husband, well, but you're sober, aren't you? And he said, yeah. So that's the whole point of it. You can't convince people who aren't convinced themselves. There's nothing that you can do about that. But if you are convinced, then you're at step 3, and that's what this book says. So what does that mean? It means that we have decided to turn our will and our life over to God as we understand him. So you got to be convinced again that that's in page 60, paragraph 4, convinced that any life run on self-will can hardly be a success. And see, I felt like a very successful person, except for this one little problem I had with food. And so it was hard for me to say that my life was a complete failure. You know, well, that's only because I didn't know enough about myself. I hadn't done that thorough four step that I even thought that. Because after I did that thorough four step, I was quite convinced. But at this point, I wasn't. I probably thought, no, I'm still, you know, I've done fairly well. And so on that basis, we are almost always in collision with something or somebody. even though our motives are good. And, you know, until I read that this week in this particular way, I've decided that we are reading the book Alcoholics Anonymous, and we are reading the chapter How It Works. But from most people on, I believe this is talking about codependency. And I've never seen that before. I've never seen that before. Because I just thought, well, that's just what all addicts are. We're just all kind of bossy and wanting to run things and tell people how to do stuff and whatever. But more than ever before, I see that is, you know, a lot of people in these all addictions meetings are saying, that's probably my core addiction is codependency. For a long, long time, I've been wanting to run other people's lives. And with the motive of helping them, of being, you know, a good person. So each person's like an actor who wants to run the whole show. And see, that is really the key to it. If I'm going to run your life, I want to run the whole darn thing. Don't even give me any suggestions, okay? Just do what I say. I have a magnet somewhere at home. It's this big, I don't know, messed up looking horse, and it says, if you'll just do what I want you to do, everything will be fine. And so that's the whole deal, right? You want to run the whole show. And not only that, somehow or supernaturally, I'm going to arrange the lights and the ballet and the scenery and the rest of the players. Me. I'm going to do all of that, and all y'all have to do is just whatever I say to do. So if his arrangements would only stay put, if people would just do as he wished, the show would be great. Well, my show was not great. And that's pretty much what I was doing. So I'm just going to say this is an excellent description of a lot of codependent behavior. Here's my definition of codependency. Doing for someone else something that they can do themselves. That covers a lot of stuff. I mean, there's not that many helpless people in the world. Now, if somebody has a broken arm and a broken leg and you see them trying to get into the grocery store, please help them. Chances are they really do need your help, but the majority of people do not. So the reason it goes into these other ways that we act is because if you're as crazy as I was, okay, sometimes you might want to be kind to get your way. Sometimes you might want to be mean to get your way. You're willing to change that behavior up anyway as long as you get your way. And so that's kind of how I see it today. And, you know, do I really like this description of myself? Not so much. But here's where, page 62. Selfishness, self-centeredness. That we think is the root of our troubles. And, you know, if I put my own name in there, Isabel's centeredness, that we think is the root of my problem. It is. Am I driven by 100 forms of fear? Absolutely, almost to the number when I did my fear inventory. I think it was 87. But yeah, 100 forms of fear and self-delusion and self-seeking. And oh my God, was I into self-pity. That was one of my very favorites. Step on the toes of our fellows and they retaliate. And see, that's the other part about this codependency stuff. It's kind of like you're so shocked when you find out that people don't really want you to do that and that they don't like it and that they're mad now. And you've, in fact, stepped on their toes. Well, why would that be? My ideas are so good. I don't know why they would have a problem with that, but they will. And they will retaliate. Sometimes they hurt us, seemingly without provocation, because we don't understand how mad we've made them by trying to run their lives and tell them what to do all the time. But we invariably find that at some point in the past or in the present, we've made decisions based on self, which later placed us in a position to be hurt. So I guess what I want to say to y'all today is that if you wouldn't mind saying the third step prayer with me, that would be a joy. We say it all the time at meetings, but I'd kind of like to hear your voice right now too. So, on page 63, God, I offer myself to Thee, to build with me, and to do with me as Thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self.
that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help of thy power, thy love, and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
Thank you.